you are here today, don't take that personally. That they're leaving right now. They were here to see a baptism this morning. So I was like, I haven't even preached yet. You know, what a great way to start. But hey, look, I hope you're praying prayers like we've just heard Kevin pray, that we would be able to see what God points us to as the eternal truth, the eternal reality, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that picture that we see in Revelation of those people from every tongue and tribe and nation gathered around Christ, that we as a church would become the visible representation of that here and now. Isn't that why we gather together today? To be the people that God has created us to be the church that God has created us to be. And what a great opportunity we have that lies before us. We've been talking about John the Baptist over the past few weeks, and we've looked at who John the Baptist was in Scripture. We've looked at the kind of leader that he was. We've seen that he's a man of passion. We've seen that he is someone who was extremely unique. Man, you want to talk about someone who was an original? John the Baptist definitely was. We've also seen that John the Baptist was very humble at the same time. But you know my favorite thing about John the Baptist? My favorite thing to see and read and study about John the Baptist is this. All of his life was about pointing to Jesus. It was all about Jesus Christ. If he were here today and he could talk to us right now, I guarantee you there is one thing that he would talk about, and that's Jesus. And remember what we've been saying week to week. What he did then, what John the Baptist did then, we can do what? We can do now. So no matter how God has put you together, no matter how he's wired you, whether you have a personality that's passionate and original, a lot like John the Baptist, or whether you're just wired a little differently, your entire life can point to Jesus. Whether you are in a good time in your life, or whether you're in a time in your life where you may be struggling. Now, let me invite you to go ahead and take your Bibles out. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15 today. And we're going to look at a time where John the Baptist is in a very, very different situation, a very different circumstance in his life. And I want us to see this question that John the Baptist asked through his disciples to Jesus himself. Because it's a question that shows there's something going on. I mean, there's some shakiness in this question. There's some, maybe even possibly a little bit of doubt behind this question. There's a reason that John the Baptist, we see in this passage of Scripture, sending his disciples to ask Jesus a question. And I want us to use this today as we walk through this passage, Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15, as an invitation where God invites us to be who we are right where we are, and maybe even ask questions ourselves, not to doubt God, but to clarify, God, what are you doing in my life right now? God, what are you doing in the lives of others right now? So Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15. Now, you may be there. If you're still turning there, let me take just a second and introduce myself. My name is Corey. I'm one of the pastors here. Man, I am so glad that you've come, whether you're watching online or whether you're in the room this morning, especially if this is your first time with us or second time with us even. Thank you for making your way here to worship with us this morning. We want you to know you're among friends, okay? I tell everybody, if this is your first time here, act like you own the place, okay? We are glad that you are here this morning. And let me point you to a couple of things that we would love to be able to, for you to do so that we can connect with you. At the bottom of your worship program you got as you came in this morning, there's a QR code. Let me ask you to scan that with your mobile device. It's going to take you to a digital connect card. We ask everybody to fill that out. But look, if this is your first or second time filling that out, we're going to make a $10 contribution to a ministry here in Christian County on your behalf. So let me go ahead and encourage you to do that so you can be involved in kingdom work just by filling out that connect card this morning, okay? Now, Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15. I want us to walk through this morning, but what I want us to do is I want us to begin with verses 2 and 3, and let's just begin to unpack this question that we see John the Baptist asking, because this is what I want us to focus on. Questions can be a catalyst for growth. You know, there's a reason God has given you the ability to think and ask questions in the first place. The godly purpose of asking questions is to be a catalyst for growth and ultimately to lead us to God, who is the answer. I believe that all truth is God's truth. I also believe that God is the ultimate answer to any question that we could ask. So let's wrestle with this question this morning. How do we grow as believers by asking the right questions? Matthew chapter 11, beginning verse 2. John the Baptist, who was in prison. Let's just hit the pause button there real quick. Where was John the Baptist? John the Baptist, who was in where? Prison. Now let's just kind of put ourselves right there real quick. What kind of mindset do you think John had? What kind of circumstances was John in? I mean, John the Baptist, this passionate prophet who preached Jesus all day long, who baptized those who were repenting of their sins, finds himself where? In prison. And what we're going to see is that these circumstances lead to a question. So when we read this question, I want us to do so understanding that the confinement of a cell, even for the best, can cause us to question, right? Do you find yourself in a place, in a dark place in your life where you're struggling? Do you feel confined? Are you stuck? Are you wondering why whatever is going on in your life? It doesn't mean that you're in a place where God is not with you. And God can handle your questions. Let's continue to read. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Now let me ask you this. How does that question land? When you think about who John the Baptist is in Scripture, John the Baptist sends his disciples and asks Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Now, one of two things could be going on here, right? I mean, one is that John is in a dark place, he's struggling, and he's really wondering about this. But you know the other thing that could be going on here? Imagine being one of John the Baptist's disciples. You have followed him, you've listened to him, you've seen the amazing things that have happened, all of the people coming out to the desert to see his, to see him and to hear his preaching. And now Jesus is doing all of these miracles, doing all of this teaching. People are flocking to Jesus and John is in prison. Do you think his disciples may have been a little bit confused? Do you think they may have been asking some questions themselves? So it could be that John himself was struggling, but it also could be that John was sending his disciples to the feet of the Messiah himself so that they could be taught. Because listen to the question again. Listen to how they ask this. "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Would you have asked that question of Jesus? How would you have felt if somebody said, "Hey, would you go ask Jesus if he's the Messiah?" It might be a little scary, right? The first thing I think we need to deal with when we're asking this question, how do you grow as a believer by asking the right question, is this. Questions can be scary, but don't be afraid to ask. Questions can be scary, but don't be afraid to ask. Matthew chapter 7. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus teaching his followers. He's teaching them about prayer, but listen to what he's saying. "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Look, the Lord wants you to ask important questions. God wants you to ask important questions, even if they're kind of scary, even if they're kind of intimidating. Let me ask you a question. See what I did there? Have you ever had to ask a scary question? Anybody, when you think through your life, have you ever had to ask something that you're like, I'm not sure what's going to happen on the other side of this? I have. You want me to tell you my scary question? Will you marry me? That was Janie, by the way, if you were wondering. That's who I asked. That's my wife. I mean, obviously, it turned out well. And we had dated for a few years. And look, we started dating in December. Listen to this craziness. I had the ring by April. I didn't give it to her because we were still in school. We still wanted, you know, to graduate. We had plans and stuff like that. But I held on to that ring for like a year and a half. The whole time we talked about, you know, getting married and what our life would be like and how we wanted to be together, but yet still, and I had it all planned out, right? I mean, on the beach, at sunset. I mean, it was going to be perfect, and it was awesome. It was incredible. I mean, we were walking down to the beach. The sun was setting. Nobody else was on the beach, Panama City Beach. It was crazy. I'd never seen it before like this before. And I had the ring in my pocket, right? And as we're walking down, you know, we get to the sand. We take our shoes off. I slip that ring into my shoe and then lay out a towel. We sit down on the towel, and we just talk about how beautiful everything is. And I, on the outside, I think I was cool as a cucumber. I don't know. I couldn't see myself. On the inside, I'm freaking out. Why? Because number one, I couldn't figure out how I got her anyway. I mean, I way outkicked my coverage with Janie, okay? And it was about to become real. We were about to find out, are we going to be together or not? And I still remember Janie set up. She had a camera. This is back when we had cameras that were separate from phones. And she sat up and she took a picture of the sunset. And as she sat up, I reached back and I reached into my shoe and I pulled out that ring. And I still remember that feeling of not being able to get the ring out of the shoe. And I have no clue what I said. It's just all a blur. I just remember finally getting the words out. Will you marry me? Now, obviously, she said yes, and we got married. But that question, even though it was a scary question, what did that do in our lives? That one question was a door that opened into a whole new relationship that shaped and changed both of our lives forever, which I'm so glad. I'm so glad that she said yes. But what if I hadn't asked? You see, the Lord wants us to ask important questions. And that's not the only kind of question that can be scary. I mean, what about this question? Have you ever asked this question? God, what do you want me to do? Can that be a scary question? Because if you don't know what the answer is, you might be afraid that God's going to call you to do something that is bigger or is something that you can't accomplish, or he's going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do. But how important is that question in the life of a believer? God, what do you want me to do? How about this? Will you forgive me? What an important question that needs to be asked to God. God, will you forgive me of my sins? I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need to follow Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. But then also with relationships around us, how important is it from time to time when it's needed to say, will you forgive me? How about this question? How can I pray for you? These are important questions that open the door to relationship and to change. How can I pray for you? You know, if you ask people that, are you ever around someone who is venting or struggling, or you just know that something's going on in their life? This is such a great question to ask them. I've asked this question. I've heard this question asked time and time again. I've asked this question to people that I knew were close to the Lord. And I just wanted to be an encourager to them. I wanted to pray for them. I wanted to see God's will to be done in their life. And that's easy to ask that question to that kind of person. You know, I've asked that question to an atheist before as well. A vowed atheist, wanted nothing to do with God, thought it was all craziness. How can I pray for you? I've never had someone say, don't do that. People are always open to that question. It's such an important question. How about this one? Will you come to church with me? I mean, we're 3 weeks out, what Kevin just talked about here. You know, there's more people thinking now about where they're going to go to church on Easter than almost any other time that they will this year. And God's already teed up the conversation. God's already working in their life. God is already doing something. And how important would it be for those people that God is already working in their heart to be able to come be a part of the local church, for someone to say to them, hey, do you want to come to church with me? Might be kind of a scary question to ask, but it's so important. How about this? Can I share my story with you? Can I just kind of tell you what God's done in my life? You ever had the opportunity to ask someone that question? I've never heard someone say, no thanks. Well, okay. Can I share my story with you? And then you just talk about what God has done in your life. Look, questions are important. And asking important questions deepens connection. That's what it does. When we ask questions to God, and we ask questions to each other, it deepens connections to God and others. Now, it does a couple of things. So why question, okay? I mean, do you enjoy asking questions? Do you enjoy being asked questions? It depends on how you're wired. If you have spent any time with me, I love questions a little too much. I mean, I love to ask questions because I think we learn from asking questions. It's funny, my kids, okay, Charlie and Elizabeth. Now they're adults now, but Charlie, whenever he would listen to my sermons, he would always do this. He would take that outline, and first thing he would do is he would start counting the blanks: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And he would say, "Dad, 23 blanks today, a little much." Now, if you're wondering, and I know you're counting right now, there's 27 blanks today. Okay, I had three people after the first service come to me, 27 blanks, Corey. Here's what I heard Elizabeth say one time: "Dad, the questions." Whew, so many questions. I love questions because that is how we grow. Do you ever hear Jesus asking any questions? I mean, Jesus could spend all of the time in the world correcting, teaching, and just giving lectures, but he asked questions instead. So asking important questions, it does some things. Number one, it builds trust. Ask important questions deepens connections to God and others by building trust, by creating buy-in. I mean, when you ask someone a question, they're going to process what it is that you're thinking about, and if they want to, it's an opportunity for them to buy into whatever is going on. It's empowering. You're asking what they think. You're asking what they know. It's an empowering thing. It develops leadership capacity when we ask questions. Parents, if you want your kids to increase their capacity for leadership, learn to ask them powerful questions. Not harsh questions, powerful questions. The kind of questions that make them think, the kind of questions that help them communicate, the kind of questions that help them develop themselves as leaders. And the last thing is this: it creates authenticity. When someone asks a question and you get to say what you're thinking and what you're feeling or what you believe, it creates authenticity. You're saying what's actually going on. So see, even though questions can be scary, don't be afraid to ask. How many of you, if you could get alone with the Lord right now, would have a question that you would ask him? How many of you, if you could get alone and have some time with a person that you care about care about more than anybody else on the face of this earth, you would have a question that you'd want to ask them? Whether you're in a good place or whether you're in a place where you're struggling right now, don't be afraid to ask. I mean, think about it like this. If God were going to bring glory to himself through you right now, would God's glory be seen more in your strength right now, or would it be seen more in your weakness? See, we can bring glory to God anywhere we are, anytime. This is what we see with John the Baptist and the question that he's asking here. So let's continue to read. Let's continue to look. So if we're going to grow as believers, questions can be scary, but don't be afraid to ask. The second thing is this, verses 4 through 6. focus on the work of the gospel and be reassuring. So once you've asked that question and you've opened that door, focus on the work of the gospel and be reassuring. I love how Jesus answers this question. Now, if you were Jesus, how would you have felt, what would you have thought had John the Baptist's disciples come to you and asked that question? Are you the Messiah, or should we be looking for someone else? I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know how I would react. I think I may come up with some one-word answers. Really? What? You're doubting me? But look at how Jesus answers. Chapter 11, verses 4. Chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." Do you know what that is? That is the message of the gospel. And then verse 6, and he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." I love Jesus' answer there because it is tied to, connected to the gospel. The words that Jesus says there, do you know that he's quoting from the book of Isaiah? There are four places in the book of Isaiah where you see these same exact words. And in every one of those passages, it's talking about one thing: who the Messiah was going to be. It was foretelling who Jesus was, that Christ was coming, that the Messiah was on his way. And now right here, what's the answer to the question? The gospel. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." You see, when we're asking questions and we're in these interactions, it's important for us to be able to understand that God is at work in the midst of this, and we should focus on the work of the gospel. We should focus on what God is doing. And when it comes down to it, we need to ask with the right heart. You have to ask with the right heart. I think that's where we go wrong so many times, right? We love asking questions. We love having conversations. We just don't start in the right place. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, in the book that he wrote that we have here, the letter to the church, in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, talks a little bit about this. Listen to how James puts it. "What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? When you want what you don't have, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." You have to start with the right heart. What typically leads to questions that we ask? I think it's this. I think it's how we feel or what we perceive. And I am the first person to say none of us can separate our feelings from who we are, right? I think it's a gift from God that we can feel things. But so many times we think that we're just logical people, that we're, you know, thinking people, and we can separate our emotions out. And I don't think that's the case, but if we begin with our feelings, with how we ask questions of others, how often are our feelings correct? Have you ever felt something that wasn't right based on somebody else? Maybe. So what do we start with? If you're going to ask with the right heart, begin with what you believe. As a believer, as a Christian, start with what you believe. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about this other person that you're talking to? This is how we begin to ask the right questions. Look, I heard this a long time ago, and it's just really stuck with me. We need to learn to live left to right. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about there. We begin with our beliefs. We let our beliefs lead to action, and then we let those actions form the feelings and the perceptions that we have. Because a lot of times we get that flipped, right? We begin with our feelings and our perceptions, and that leads to our actions, and then that forms or deforms what we believe. So how does this show up? How do you do this? Well, I mean, I think the way that we form our questions forms our relationships. In other words, think about it like this. Our questions form our relationships. Know who you are when you are talking with someone, especially when you're asking a question, and know who they are. Know who you are and know who you're talking to. I think there's three roles that we step into when we're in interactions with other people. We are either an adult, a parent, or a child, right? Adult, parent, child. You need to understand who you are in the conversation, and you need to understand who you're talking to. So let's just start with the whole parent-child thing, because, I mean, a lot of our conversations, whether we are a child, whether we are a parent, you know, wherever we are there, a lot of our conversations exist in this role, parent-child. Now, I remember, I'm talking a lot about my kids today, but I remember there were times in our home when our kids were young when things would get a little crazy, right? Been there, done that, fight would break out, you know, something like that, and I would do this. I would sit Charlie down on the couch, and on one end of the couch, I'd sit Elizabeth down on the other end of the couch, and it was the same conversation most of the time. I would say, okay, who are you? Who are you? Charlie, who are you? I'm the son. Elizabeth, who are you? I'm the daughter. Who am I? You're the dad. Okay. You're the son, you're the daughter, I'm the dad, what I say goes, right? And that's how a lot of our corrective type of conversations would start. It's how they would begin. Now, that's okay in a parent-child situation where you're the parent and you're talking to a child. That's not okay in your marriage, right? Let me talk a little quieter. Because what happens is when we, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's the husband talking to the wife talking to the husband, as soon as one of us steps into that parent role, especially that critical parent role, you will always get the same reaction. Critical parent always leads to rebellious child. Every single time. James, do you wonder why you fight with one another? So you got to know who you are. If you are an adult and you're talking to another adult, talk to them like an adult and start with what you believe. They are made in the image of God. They are called into relationship with Christ. If they're a believer, they are empowered with the Holy Spirit and they are an ambassador for Christ. How many times do we make the mistake of jumping in and seeing a person as a problem rather than somebody that God is working in their heart and in their mind and in their life? And our job is to play God in their life and fix their problem for them. You know, I'm really struggling with this. Well, let me tell you what you need to do. First A, and then B, and then C. And if you'll do A, B, and C, then this will be okay. And if not, well, that's your fault. Do we ever have those kinds of, those logical conversations before? Let me be your fixer, right? But what if we saw that person, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a young adult, whether it's a coworker, as somebody that God was doing something in their life, and He has us there at the perfect time and the perfect place to join Him in His work, that conversation looks different, doesn't it? I am an adult, you are an adult, and we're both growing in Christ. So let's kind of apply this in a bring this down for some application. Let's go back to kids, right? So let's take the type of questions that we ask our kids a lot of times, and let's just kind of twist those a little bit to kind of put them more in the direction of asking questions for growth. So what are the, if you're a parent and you pick your child up from school, what's one of the three questions or all three questions that you typically ask them? How was your day? Did you learn anything? And were you good? How was your day? What'd you learn? Were you good? Did you stay on green? Or some form of these questions, right? I mean, these are the things. Give me the information. Give me the facts. Let me know what I'm facing as we're kind of going home here, okay? And we ask these kinds of questions. And what kinds of answers do we get? Short, one-word answers, if not just grunts or sounds. Right? How was your day? What did you learn? Nothing. Were you good? Yeah. Well, what if we ask those questions a little differently? What if we ask a question like this? So how do you feel after your day today? Instead of saying, did you learn something? And we learned this with our kids when they were young. We would ask this, what questions did you ask today? You really want to know what they're learning and what they're processing? Ask what questions they asked. And what about this? What was the best thing that happened to you today? And what was the worst thing that happened to you today? You see, it's a different way of getting at all of those things, but you're asking a question in a way that's powerful. It allows them to think. It allows them to process. It opens the door for you to be able to see their heart, to see where they are here, how they're feeling, how they're thinking, and you're coming along beside of them. It doesn't mean that you don't correct. It doesn't mean that you don't speak into it, but it means you're treating them in a way that you're saying, I see who you are, and I want to learn more about that because that's good. You see, when we ask, we've got to do so with the right heart. Look, questions can be scary. Don't be afraid to ask. Focus on the work of the gospel. What is God doing in that person? What is God doing in you as you're asking and you're having these interactions? And then the third thing is this, build others up in your interaction. Build others up in your interaction. Back to Matthew chapter 11. Let's read verses 7 through 15. It's so interesting to me that these first verses that we've been through in this passage are the shorter part of the passage. In verses 7 through 15, what Jesus does is he spends the larger part of this passage building John the Baptist up. On the other side of this question, he's building him up. Verse 7, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Do you see what Jesus is doing here? Asking questions. What kind of man did you see go into the what kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? What do you think the people said? No. I mean, they're like, that's ridiculous. No. Weak. He's one of the most passionate men we've ever been around. Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? Remember how John the Baptist was dressed? Camel hair and leather belts. Anybody got on camel hair and leather belt today? Probably not. Not expensive clothes, right? Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he's more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth. Of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. Remember where John is? He's in prison. Remember who's put him in prison? Herod. Who do you think Jesus is talking about? For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses look forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Build others up in your interaction. Build them up. Look, the way we respond to questions forms our leadership. The way we respond to questions, it forms our leadership. Did you know? This may be news to you. Did you know that you're a leader? You're a leader. Who have you been called to lead first? Yourself. The way we lead ourselves determines the way that we lead others. And the way that we lead ourselves also shows others who we follow. So if you want others to see that you follow Christ, lead yourself to Christ every day through His Word, through time and prayer. Look, leadership is influence. And you have influence on the people around you, whether you're speaking that influence into their lives or whether they are just watching you and modeling their life after you. You're a leader, and you are called to follow Christ and make Him known. So that's why it's so important to be led by grace. to be led by grace. Listen to Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response to everyone. Look, the right response is not always having the right answer. The right response is not always being correct in everything you say. The right response is always pointing others to Jesus through the way you live your life, through the words that you say, to the way that you show the wisdom of Christ to others through the grace that you've experienced and the grace that you're giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you again for the day that you've given us and the time that we have to come together, to open up your word, to lift up the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and God, just to be obedient to your Holy Spirit. So God, today we pray that your word would not return void. We pray today that if there's anybody here that is not saved, that they would answer the call that you have on their life to come to Jesus. God, for those of us that are still growing in Christ, we pray that you would speak to us, change us, lift us up, encourage us, whether we're in a place where we're good, whether we're in a place where we're struggling. God, we thank you that you're here with us, that you're present, and that you're walking with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we move into this response time, let's all stand together. The worship team is going to lead us. And as we are singing, if you have a sense that the Lord is working in your heart, if you have a sense that God is asking you a question, will you follow me today? Let me encourage you that this is the time and this is the place to step out and step up. And when you do, you're going to find people here around you, willing to gather around you, encourage you, pray with you, talk with you, and walk with you through that decision. If you're here today and you're still praying for somebody on that list, one of your three, look, the altar is open. Come forward and kneel at the altar today. Feel free to pray for that person. Maybe you don't have somebody on your heart and you want to come and you want to ask God a question. God, who is it that you want me? Who is it that you want me to talk to? Who is it that you want me to reach out to? Look, the altar is open. Let's follow God today by stepping forward and following Him.